Got a lot to unpack here.
Are you going to be able to do it?
I don't know. I was actually going to get off this and tell you I need another session with you.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we answer the question, is it possible to get what you want?
Please. Please, I hope it is.
Hi, Bean.
Hey, I'm really stoked about
this. Why don't you ever say hi to me first? I don't like to always say hi to you first.
Okay. All right. Redo. Hi, Bean.
Hi, Bean.
Sometimes I do it.
You do it. What's up? How's your life been?
Life's been lifing, you know? I feel like I wanted to bring something positive, and I'm going to. I feel like the world is really heavy and sad, and it's fine. Oh. It's really hard to find joy these days. But a friend of ours, her son was the lead in his school play, and he's in sixth grade. And it was this week, and we went. And just to watch like a bunch of sixth graders performing a show that they have worked months on, and I'd say 50 to 70% of them have red cheeks because they're just so embarrassed because they're in sixth grade, but they're like singing their little hearts out and they're performing and they've worked so hard and their costumes are on point and the background is such a thing. It's like the most purest, innocent joy one could watch. My advice for all the world leaders is go watch some kids do some shows.
And we'll solve it. We'll solve it all that way.
It's world peace. It's world peace. I mean, it's such genuine pleasure.
What a good friend you are that you went to a sixth grade play.
I took my kids. I was like, we're all going.
That's super nice. That's so nice.
That's my takeaway.
You're the delight. You're the star.
He was the star. It was Oliver Jr. and he was Oliver Twist. Ooh,
how did he do?
Amazing.
Isn't it so awkward if he didn't do well? Like, what do you say to your friends afterwards? Like, that was a good try.
No, right. But he was amazing and he sang and it was so brave. I felt like they were all so brave. And then my little guy said at the end, because my middle child is very shy and doesn't like people looking at her. She was like, I'll never do that. But then I asked Remy and he was like, I might.
Oh like, my God. I will fly to Bucks County, Pennsylvania for that.
Of course. It's so pure. Guy.
That's anyway. Really cute. Well, that's very delightful.
Thank you.
I think I also have a delight. I had this podcast interview and the podcast is based in LA, but he came up here and rented a studio in Santa Barbara, which first of all was so kind. I was like, whoa,
Agreed. It's
really a big deal. But anyway, in the interview, he said to me, he's like, he had read the book, by the way. It's always really nice when someone's read the book because it's a very different interview and it can be much more like specific. He was like, I really related to your story about Rhea. Oh, actually, I have a two-part delight because I have a Rhea delight too, who's my mentor and psychic. He's like, and I had an experience like that where this psychic told me once that I was going to move to LA because he's from Texas. And then he ended up, he's like, I didn't understand why and that I was going to work with celebrities. And now he has a marketing firm in LA. But then he's like, and then I talked to her like 3 weeks ago and she said to me, you're going to interview an author. And this author is psychic. I know. I was like, that's so. And he's like, I didn't really put together that you are an intuitive until I read your book. And I was like, you know what I loved about, first of all, that's really cool. But you know what I loved about that? I'm achieving my goal, which is to talk about it so practically that you don't really realize I'm an intuitive until you really dig into the book.
That's true. That's actually true. Yeah. So like when you go on, you don't really even discuss it on all of your interviews. It doesn't always come up. Yeah. Because you are so, that is a delight. You're delightful.
Right? Achievement unlocked. The other delight is that Rhea texted me. I texted Rhea, do you have time for me today? And she's like, absolutely. And then she said, okay, great. I'll talk to you at 5. Also, I've gotten to the part in the book late last night that you introduced me. Thank you so. It's so beautiful and sweet. I'm so very glad the fear didn't stop you. And by the way, I'm 5'0", not 5'2". Love you so much.
she's a pocket size.
Tiny.
Wow. Anyway,
those are my delights.
What a truest delight.
What a true delight. All right. So what are we talking about today, Miss Melissa Gruszka?
I really want to get after this because it's about can you achieve what you want? And I feel like this conversation is more than just like manifest and think about it. Although what manifesting though is a mindset shift, which I believe is something we're going to explore, right? Well, why are we even asking this? How about we start there?
Oh, why do we ask ourselves this question? I think we ask ourselves, like, so the question is like, can I really get what I want?
Yes. Can I?
Can I? I think that the question itself is so revealing because it reveals that we don't believe it's possible to have what we want.
Correct.
So you know me, I like to go to the origin point, which is part one of this conversation. Where does this idea originate that we can't have what we want?
I'm thinking that this probably applies more to women than it does to men, because for some reason, men are more capable of believing that they can achieve what it is that they need or they can get whatever they want, whereas women are much more questioning the possibilities.
Yeah, I think if we're talking in generalizations, you're totally right. And then every time we make a generalization like this, I think about TJ and I'm like, but he's the exception. Like TJ has struggled with this too, this idea of like, it's not possible to get what I want. But I do think you're right. We have been convinced that our wants are selfish.
Yes.
Because we exist for what?
Everybody else.
Everyone else's care. Right. So it's really, I just really want to say this a million times. Right. Think about that. Think about existing for the care of others only. Is that really enough for you?
Like, no, but look at your face.
It's just not enough. And it is obviously so incredibly demeaning. It is so dehumanizing. It makes us secondary citizens, for sure. Because if we're in charge of care, then that means there's a more important group of people who need to be cared for. So it already psychologically sets us up as being secondary.
I think it should be an and. Like, I can care for me and I can care for you. There's enough care to go around.
About maternal care. I'm not even thinking about maternal care. I'm thinking about psychological, emotional care of this boss, this boyfriend, this partner.
Yeah, everybody.
Like I need to make sure that you're comfortable, that you're safe, that you're happy, that matters more than what I want. That's why often we don't go after what we want as females, because we are convinced that we have to, like, we will lose our value.
Right.
If we go after what we want, because we're convinced we're selfish. So that's point number one, is that this limiting belief that we're selfish if we want things, desire being about being selfish. By the way, selfishly, this episode is really me working out, I think, the outline to my next book.
Oh, I love that.
I really think the next book is about wants and longings.
It's been a big theme, I'd say, across many of our last several episodes, so much so that I worried it would be redundant, but I almost think each episode almost unlocks, like, lays the groundwork for the following episode to build upon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there's that. There's the belief that it's selfish. So if that hit you where it hurts, then I want you to really want you to think about that. Like, if you think that wanting things are selfish, right there, we've hit a limiting belief system or a story. Shout out to our episode from 2 weeks ago. Think about then, like, obviously, if you're a person of color, or you're from an immigrant community, or you're from any kind of ostracized community, LGBT+ community, like, that idea that you can't get what you want is further implanted in us because we're watching people with privilege constantly receive it. And we have to work harder. That's just the system that's been set up. Let's just be honest about it. There's no fucking amount of manifesting that is going to make that not true. This is the other part of love and light healing that drives me insane.
It's usually
coming from privileged people who don't understand that if the system is set up to make you feel less than, to make it harder for you, that you don't have the generational wealth, all of these things, then it's harder to believe that you can get what you want.
And I come from privilege and I'm one of those privileged people and I still struggle with it. So I can only imagine how much more challenging, and it makes sense then how the system keeps going. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we ask ourselves this question because we don't inherently believe it's possible to get what we want. I'm just going to, I know you like when I jump right to the healing tool. I'm going to say this right now. Look at your life for evidence. Before you believe the belief that you can't get what you want, go back and think about in your life having wanted something. And if that thing was in your best interest, did you get it?
Yes. How about you? Do you have something?
Yeah, I have a million things. Yeah.
Sadly, it's harder for me to think. The first thing I jumped to was my son.
Ooh, there we go.
I wanted it so bad, and I knew it. I felt it deep in there, and I wanted it, wanted it. And it was for the greater good of everybody.
Yeah. And for me, it's definitely publishing a book. I wanted it so badly, and I got so many no's from so many publishers when I first set out to do it because I was an unknown person.
Right.
But I think when I ask people to do this exercise, they can find the evidence of times that they didn't get what they want, which takes me to my second like point here, which is getting everything you want. So when I ask you to do this like evidence exercise, there might be a part of you that's going to go look for times you didn't get what you wanted. But I think what's interesting about that is, well, why not? What did you get instead? Or were you not ready in that moment? Or you know what I mean? Like, I think that it's not about getting everything you want, because getting everything you want has you living in an illusion that you are in total control of every aspect of your life.
Right.
That if you want it, you should have it. And what if you are not ready for the thing you want? What if you get it when you're not ready? What happens to you then?
I don't know, but that's scary, because then you might give up on the goal because you're like, well, I tried and I didn't get it. But what if you could get it in a different phase of your life?
No, but what if you got it when you weren't ready for it? What might you do? Right. Like you might not know what to do with it. It's like, I think about TJ. I think about if I had met TJ in my 20s, we'd be broken up. For sure.
You think?
Because there was a part of me that was so attached to chaos and found chaos so attractive and needed to be the fixer so much that I would not have known what to do with TJ. I would have squandered that.
Nice. Yeah.
Totally. Right. So you think you want it. Like, I wanted that steady, good, solid marriage in my 20s and 30s. But I sure as hell was not ready to hold that. I would not have been able to do with it what I'm able to do now.
But wouldn't it be nice, though, if we made a little space to hold that shit when we were in our 20s?
I know. And I think this is the point. There are lessons you need to learn by not getting what you want in the moment.
Right.
So I think that like that's really helps us suffer less when we don't get what we want. And this is really personal to me because I realized I get really butthurt when I don't get what I want.
You do.
I take it real personal.
You do.
Like, I will literally like shout up to the universe and be like, what the actual fuck, guys?
And you're really good at getting what you want. So when you don't get something, it's really like, I'm even like, how come she didn't get that thing?
How dare you? But it's like, what I've learned is it's how you view and apply the lessons from not getting it that actually speed up or slow down the timeline of getting what you want. So I'll say that differently. What?
Yeah, please do.
If you want something and it doesn't work out and you are able to get out of the story and then ask yourself, what am I meant to learn from this? Or what is this making possible for me? The quicker that you can get into that process and apply the lessons, the quicker you grow and the quicker you get ready for the thing you want. The more you sit in the resistance and the rejection and the frustration, the slower the lesson can be applied, the slower you grow, the slower it takes, the longer it takes to get to the thing you want.
So take a lesson out of all negativity and say, how can I apply this to grow in the future?
Yeah. Like what was this for? It's so interesting. I follow this guy on Instagram. His name is Bashar, or he channels an entity called Bashar, and he's fascinating. Like when he speaks, you're like, wow, everything, every cell in my body is like true, true, true.
What's
true,
his
true.
Name?
Bashar, B-A-S-H-A. His name is Daryl Anka, but he channels this entity called Bashar. Think of it what you will, but go look it up first before you decide if it's ridiculous or woo-woo. But one of the things that he gets asked is like, what should we humans do with fear? And when he's channeling this entity, Bashar says, like, use fear as this amazing opportunity to grow. So ask your fear self, like, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? In that worst case scenario, there's something being revealed about what your story you're in, right, and what you really desire. And then if you're able to like pick those two pieces, those gems out of the fear, look at the information you suddenly have. Oh my God, I really want this thing. Then this is the story I'm in. That awareness, that consciousness allows you to more quickly work to reframe the story and work to honor the thing that you desire. So that's the same thing I'm saying is like when you can utilize this moment of not getting what you want to be like, what happened here? What can I learn from this? You're allowing your consciousness to expand in that moment. And then you're growing and becoming more prepared to get the thing you want when the timing is right.
So you approach the moment and you approach it more with an more open mind. And then you're ready to receive it.
Yeah. And you're not suffering so much. And then I think the other thing in terms of like everything you want versus like what you really, really need for your highest good, what you really want is what's the ultimate want? Like sometimes we get stuck on the little wants in between the bigger want. What is the biggest want here? And can I see that I'm being guided towards that biggest want? I'm being healed and prepared to receive that biggest want. Maybe the little wants in between aren't supposed to work out the way that I think in my human limited self they have to work out. But maybe the biggest want is still out there and available to me.
I love that. I love that sometimes even the end goal is just a representation of the larger want, that it's not necessarily that thing that you need. You're moving towards. I love that. Reframe.
Reframe. Beautiful. Reframe. Beautiful. So reframe. Use it right now. Like for me right now, there's like so many speaking engagements I want and some of them aren't working out. But then I have to stop and make, what's the biggest want? The biggest want is to reach as many people with this message as possible so that they can free themselves from external validation and they can understand the wisdom is within them. Okay, so the biggest want is to reach as many people as possible. Then I turn that into a prayer. Universe, make it so that I can reach as many people as possible in the ways that are best for me.
What about those who are not into prayers?
Well, prayer I'm using as just a request. How about that? Use it as a request to universe or to your higher self or just put it out there.
I just went right into it. I shut my eyes and I immediately went right into it. I forgot we were in the middle of something. I'm very anxious. Okay. I guess that's probably another thing. Pushing and rushing is a problem. I'm like right now. I'm always like if it doesn't happen right now or it's not happening in the timeline I expect it to happen in, there's no way it's happening.
That's fair.
Thanks.
I think a lot of us have that impatience. I think the impatience is because we don't believe it's possible.
Correct, which is a story.
So you need the evidence immediately. So it's like, there's the story. Why am I impatient? Because I need the evidence right now because I don't believe it's possible. Damn. I just was like, you need to repeat that to yourself.
Say it again.
The impatience is there because it reveals the story that you don't actually believe it's possible.
Okay.
Wow. Right there in the I don't believe it's possible, that's the fucking impediment.
Got it. Unlock.
You have to believe it's possible.
That is, can you elaborate quickly on what believing it's possible actually looks like? Because you can say it until you're blue in the face, but it doesn't mean you actually embody it.
Oh my God, so good. This is the perfect transition. This is how I want to wrap this episode in this four-part sort of construction that I've created in getting what you want. And you guys tell us, I don't know how you can, but tell us, you can submit a form, right? On our podcast?
Yes, yes.
If you really are so inclined to help me with the second book, tell me if these four parts make sense to you, because I think this is the outline for the book. So first of all, how do you get what you want? First of all, what do you want? This sounds so much easier than it is, but actually when I dig with people, this is the fuzziest part of the equation. They're not actually sure what they want. And we just said in the beginning of the episode why you're having such a hard time knowing what you want. So use that awareness to kind of dig away at this cement here that's making it hard to see what you want. It's because you don't believe you're allowed to have wants. It's because maybe they feel selfish, or maybe other people in your life wanted things and they didn't get it. So you watch them, you know, suffer. But there's a reason that you don't know what you want. It has to do with the limiting belief around just wanting to begin with. But if I gave you permission to want, if I gave you permission to know that your desires are divine, all I mean by divine is that they're intelligently put within you so that you can live your purpose. Right. If you had permission to want, what do you want? That clarity is so important. Part one. The second one, what beliefs tell you you can't have them? And again, look at the factors. One, the stigma of wanting, especially as a woman. Do you want to live in that stigma or reject it? The other thing I think that is a factor in wanting is like our constant chase of material wants.
Yeah.
That can make things a little foggy, because I think the kind of want I'm talking about is bigger. It's about the quality of your life. It's about the ability to experience life in the best form that aligns to your truth.
And I think it's also about how you feel from within.
Yes, it's about how you feel from within. But I think when we get wrapped up in material wants, and we live in a culture that tells us we have to constantly chase material want, one of the things you can do there is to just ask, like, does this really bring me true happiness? And we've talked about this in past episodes. But that's one of the ways that you can work around the obstacles of wants is, am I trapped in material want? And is that distracting? Again, what beliefs tell you can't have it? What family beliefs exist about the thing you want? Maybe you come from an immigrant family like me that is very linear about the way you make money. And it is a job that you must get where there's an employer who's paying you. Or you come from a really entrepreneurial family that tells you you have to have your own business to be successful. I don't know what it is, but I guarantee that your family has a lot of beliefs about the thing you want, and those could be blocking you. And I want you to remember, they're not the ones living your life. So their beliefs may not be helping you anymore. So that's part two. What are the beliefs that tell you can't have it? Get clear. And now this is really important, part three. Yeah. Why do you want it?
How do you answer that? Sometimes I don't even know. It's just like, I just know it's something I want. You right. have to explore why you want it.
Yes, because if you can get to a deeper purpose, you will commit to it. When you can see that it is for a larger impact in your life and the life of others, you will more likely commit to it. It's easier to let go of it when you can't connect it to the larger why. So here's a couple questions you can ask yourself. How does this want make me more me? How will it allow me to live my life in more alignment with who I really am? Or how will this want allow me to explore better who I really am, understand better who I really am? The other is, how does this want move me closer to being three things? Fulfilled, happy, free.
I almost feel like those are the whys of my wants.
But how? Happy and free. How does it make me more fulfilled? How does it make me happier? How does it make me freer? When you can organize around the why, there's something really magical that happens in your system, because we are purpose-oriented beings. And when we are aligned around purpose, it's like all of a sudden, it's like going to a chiropractor. Everything just click, 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 clicks into place. And so when you're aligned on the purpose, the limiting beliefs, the societal beliefs, the family beliefs, everything we just talked about, are a little bit less in control, because your purpose is so much more important. And you can feel your purpose in your bones. So when you can have a felt sense in your body of the why, and the why excites you, you can see the end game, that is more powerful than the contracted small belief.
Yeah. I love that. It's super exciting. I just think okay. The work sometimes feels so daunting, and like there's no, yeah, and there's no proper solution.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving you the solutions.
I just mean doing that can feel sometimes like you can't do it. Sometimes I feel like I can't understand. I can't get that deep. I can't find all of these beliefs, but it's slow. That's why. And like you said, all these experiences where we fail or we are rejected are helping us align more with those, that understanding.
Yeah. So you do all that and we get to the last part. And this is where this modern day conversation around manifestation actually comes from.
Right.
It's as simple as behaving as though you're the person who already has it. So this isn't about toxic positivity. It's not about living in some reality that does not consider all the limitations, the oppression, the all of it. Like, that's all part of it. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to ask yourself, like, how would I act if I actually had this? What would I believe about myself if I actually had this? What would I believe? And from that place of what would I believe about myself, how would I think? How would I act? What would my relationships be like? Behaving as though it's already happened is the only way to align to it.
Right. It's like you can't get in that frequency if you're not
on the frequency.
Pretending to be in that frequency.
Yeah. So you don't have to do it all overnight, but you get to sort of do a little cosplay. Who would I be today if I believed I were a best-selling author? How would I act? What would I say yes to? What would I say no to? Like, let's just do it for a day. Oh, how did that feel? Okay, let's try it again tomorrow. Like, little by little by little, who would I be if I believed this thing? That's actually what manifesting is. Manifesting is just behaving, feeling in your body the feeling of having it. What that does is it allows your consciousness to create it so that you can grab hold of it. When your consciousness creates it, it can become tangible. So asking yourself, who would I be if I believed or if I had this, allows your consciousness to expand, create the reality, and then the reality can come into your life.
This is some powerful shit. I could just keep looking at you and shaking my head.
But I'm telling you, I really think like, and I want like, I feel like our society right now needs to understand it's not about getting everything you want.
Right.
It's not about that.
Aligning to what you truly want and getting that.
Yeah. And knowing that the thing that is in your best interest that you really want is going to be in your highest good and the highest good of others. If you want something that is going to harm others, that's not actually your highest want. It's not the biggest want. That's about putting a salve, a bomb on a wounded part of yourself. That's a healing thing that needs to happen. That's different than your highest want, which is about expanding to your most truest self in a way that's good for you and good for others.
Got a lot to unpack here.
Are you going to be able to do it?
I don't know. I was actually going to get off this and tell you I need another session with you.
Well, ooh. I hope that these things are actionable. I feel like we need Melissa's famous takeaway because we said a lot. So, Bean, take it away.
I'm a little overwhelmed at the moment, but I feel like the takeaway is, again, what it often is, which is the work is inside. Stop looking around you. The work has to be done inside. We're constantly looking around and outside and all of these things and trying to take clues and cues from this one and this space and that one. When like you have to really understand your own needs and your own wants because nobody else can tell you that.
And believe that you're worthy of your wants. You are worthy of the things that you desire. You are worthy.
Signalites, you're worthy and we love you. And thanks for listening. And please, please share this episode. We always ask that you share it with at least someone you care about and you love and you want them to have this knowledge and this power and for their lives to be enhanced and grow. Because we want it for you. And Bean, I want it for you.
I want it for you, Bean. Guys, thanks for listening. And we will be back again in 2 weeks with another new episode of Signal. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.